Welcome back to A Christian and a Buddhist Walk into a Bar. My name is Jamal and I'm a Buddhist.
I'm Jacob and I am a Christian.
And how are you feeling today?
I'm feeling... So, just to let the listeners in, we normally record a bunch of episodes at once. So, we've just come out the back of recording the episode about the alleged stabbing in Sydney that you would have heard a couple of weeks ago. So, a little bit somber. But ready for what is in store on this episode, Jamal? Are we less somber? We're our usual selves, certainly, but are we less somber in this episode?
Look, I think we are, because today we have what is that music episode called?
A divine music special. It's about the Mother of God, right? I got the right memo? I've got
correct.
The right piece?
Yeah, correct. Good. Divine music special about the Mother of God, Madonna. Now, before we launch into it, we're talking about Madonna. We're probably going to talk about sex. So, you know, warning on that one.
And just, if anyone completely missed it, Madonna, not the Virgin Mary. Different
correct.
Thing.
What song are we listening to today, Jacob?
This is Like a Prayer by Madonna, released at some point a long time ago.
1989.
Oh, there we go. Good year, 1989. Good vintage.
Yeah. That's right. Like a Prayer by Madonna. So normally we talk in our Divine Music episodes about songs that you might not think are religious, but kind of are. Today we're talking about a song that you might think
is religious.
But it kind of definitely is not. What do you know
about this song? There's a sense in which, just to jump right into it, that this is kind of the ultimate Jesus is my boyfriend song,
I
right?
think it literally is. Jesus is my boyfriend. Yeah.
I know very little about this song aside from when we had Beck on the show at some point last year. We were talking about religious appropriation. And obviously that is all through this. We'll get onto the film clip later on. But even just, you know, Like a Prayer in the title itself. So that was kind of, even in the 80s, somewhat controversial, I think.
Somewhat controversial. I have an article here from the Sydney Morning Herald on April 9th, 1989. Mm-hmm. Pop singer Madonna's hit video is to be investigated by the Australian Broadcasting Tribunal to decide whether it is blasphemous.
Did we have blasphemy laws in 1989?
Well, Reverend Fred Nile is advocating for Like a Prayer to be banned in Australia.
Right, sorry, I hadn't caught up to the Fred Nile bit.
Yeah. So yes.
It's certainly not Bluey, put it that way.
It's certainly not Bluey, and it's being compared to the film The Last Temptation of Christ and the book The Satanic Verses.
Yeah, cool. The only thing that's missing there is Monty Python's Life of Brian, and that would kind of complete the triunity.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But no, it is absolutely...
Trinity, that's a...
Trinity. No, to go back a little bit to your points, yes, I think it is the ultimate Jesus is my boyfriend. I think in the video clip it is quite literally Black Jesus is my boyfriend. I think it certainly caused a lot of controversy at the time. I'm sure it still causes controversy to this day, but I think maybe that's the point.
Come on.
Well, all right. So, I don't know a lot about Madonna's early career, or mid career, which is this probably more pertinent to. But certainly, you know, Madonna is and was the biggest thing in pop, right? Like there is just like I was not alive in the heyday of Madonna, but you know, I mean, I think it is. There is no way to overstate how big Madonna was, right?
Yes, like it's absolutely. Just, you know, it's, you know, Beatles-esque, right?
Beatles-esque, Taylor-esque. Is, you know, I mean, certainly I think the conversation now about like, oh, you know, is Taylor Swift the most, you know, the most popular female pop singer ever? No, Madonna was the most popular female pop singer ever. Like it's just, you know. It's,
okay, boomer. But yeah, and a similar level, right, of I think Taylor Swift is a good comparison. Because it's not just a, hey, is this really good music or not? And we can debate the merits of whether either of them are really good music. But the self-promotion, you know, kind of Madonna had that down. And this is 100% in, you know, any news is good news, right? Like it's controversial. It's attracting attention. It's all of that kind of stuff. And certainly Tay-Tay is a wonderful self-promoter.
Absolutely, yeah. And so So I think, you know, in the context of Madonna, in certainly by 1989 being the biggest thing since sliced bread, you know, I think there is a real there's a level at which I think, you know, this song is her almost using that notoriety to see how far she can push it, right? Like, you know, I think that, you know, musically this is a really interesting song. I don't want to downplay that. It has a amazingly catchy chorus. The verses don't.
Shall we do a bit of the chorus?
Yeah, let's do the chorus.
Complete with gospel choir, right?
Correct.
Like, throwback to our Yusuf Islam, Cat Stevens discussion.
Absolutely. And like, and look, I'm dancing in my chair and I've heard that song five times today, right?
Yeah,
like,
correct.
Like, yeah,
I don't know. I knew that part of the song. I don't know that I'd ever sat down and listened to like the whole song back to back until prepping for this. But yeah.
It is. So
I knew that bit.
To touch on the musical genius of this song a little bit for a second, like it is a chorus driven song. Right.
So, 100%.
So, you know, the verses are really just there to frame the chorus. If anything, I think what she does in the verses by really pulling them back and really making them almost understated and kind of boring is there to hit you in the face with the chorus when it happens, right? Like it's a deliberate, let me pull back, let me almost make you bored, almost make you just not want to listen to this song. But then suddenly, oh my God,
here's
like
the
most.
It's almost like she's teasing you, right?
Right, yeah. But here's the most banging chorus you've ever heard in your life.
Yep.
So yeah, it does a really good job of that musically. It has a really lovely build throughout the course of the song. So as you mentioned, the gospel choir starts to come in. And even towards the end, you know, they start to really vamp up and the verses become bigger and it really kind of, it goes to the next level really well. It's a great push, but then, you know, the last 3 minutes of the song is just the chorus on repeat, like constantly, right?
Yeah, it's just this, right?
It's got
kind of the best of the 80s power ballad feel kind of thing, right?
Right, but also staying true to kind of Madonna's dance club roots, right?
Yeah.
Where there's that real, like, that bass at the bottom and all that, and yeah. So look, musically, it's an amazing song. I think that lends itself to its popularity. I mean, I think Madonna could have released literally any song at that point and it'd been popular, but I think it lets her make the broader comments she's trying to make, because then lyrically...
So yeah, what is the broader comment that she's trying to make then?
Well,
Jamal, we'll start with the chorus lyrically, right?
Right.
Because I think there's some really interesting theological comments to make about the verse.
Okay.
But as you said, no one remembers the verse. So let's start with the chorus.
Right.
What point is she trying to make here?
The point is this point. The point she's trying to make is about blowjobs.
Excellent.
I think yep. I think there's no way around that. That is broadly the point I think Madonna is trying to make in this song. So you know, it's taking, you know, the kind of the lyrical point of this song is, let me make you think that I'm talking about religion, like I'm using religious words, religious kind of lyrics,
like a prayer,
yep. To actually talk about giving somebody well, I'm sorry, that's very heteronormative of me. I will correct myself. Giving somebody oral sex, because it may not actually be a man in the video clip. It is implied it is, but it might not
be. Well, there's a little bit of ambiguity actually.
There is actually points towards the end,
video clip. Yeah.
So yeah, sorry, that was, I'm going to slap myself on the wrist for that. That was quite heteronormative of me. I apologize. But yes, the chorus lyrics, when you call my name, it's like a prayer. I'm down on my knees. I want to take you there. In the midnight hour, I can feel your power. Just like a prayer, you know, I'll take you there.
Mm.
There are lots of layers to which that is,
I can see two
fairly squarely about oral sex, and I think it's the epitome of the, you know, look at me, I'm so innocent, but actually I'm very, very much being explicit here.
And so there's two, well, at least two interesting things going on there, right? Like, on the one hand, you can kind of see look, I hate to say it, you can kind of see Fred Nile's point, right, like about the blasphemy thing, right, because she's taking religious iconography, religious symbols, and subverting it into sexuality, right? But also she's subverting the power structures that are kind of like she's playing with the routine of prayer and the idea that the prayer who is the one down on their knees is the one who kind of does not have the power, is the one praying, not the one being prayed to. Whereas she says here, when you call my name, it's like a little prayer. So she's the one down on her knees, but she's making the other person in this situation say the prayer. Like she's assuming the God position, but down on her knees, right?
I mean,
like,
again, I think there's another sexual layer to that there.
Oh, absolutely. You know, yeah. But I find that interesting, right? Like it's not, she's not in the submissive position necessarily in the chorus. Again, we can come back to the verse.
Right. Let's talk about the verse for a second there, right? Because so what is the theological interesting points about that?
Well, let's just have a listen to it first. So I think there's a couple of things worth talking about there. The no end and no beginning is kind of like that's just a thing you say about God, right? Mm-hmm. Like God is the eternal, infinite. But the statements, like a child, you whisper softly to me, you're in control, just like a child. I'm assuming that she is just like a child in that kind of statement there. And I think there's an aspect of that that speaks to some problematic relationship inequality stuff going on. And certainly if we were to look at, you know, relationships, obviously people do all kinds of stuff in the bedroom, but outside the bedroom, coercive controlling behavior, we're way more alert to that now than we were in the late 1980s. But it is also language that is used in specifically Christian religious music, right, about God being in control and kind of the one having all the agency, and there's a real power imbalance between us and God, right? Like, and, you know, God's been termed a divine child abuser. That's, you know, something that some atheists have thrown around a while ago, that the idea that God is actually manipulatively, coercively controlling people is something that some people see in Christianity and have quite a bit of a problem with. So I just thought that was a really interesting parallel that she has in the music there.
Yeah, and look, I think – so I see kind of the lyrical beats of this song to kind of be – the verses are a genuine religious exhortation, right? Like, I don't think there's innuendo in the verses in the way that there is in the chorus.
Oh, you reckon?
I
reckon it's entirely open to interpretation.
Yeah, I maybe, right? I can see how that can be interpreted there. But yeah, the chorus is the obvious innuendo.
Sure.
It is this is what I'm talking about here. And I guess there's an interesting layer to that lyrically.
I think given how obviously the chorus is innuendo, sure. I think it's hard to defend the verses as not being innuendo, to be fair.
Well, okay. So I guess I'll make my point and then we can rethink on that one. Because I think my point here is that I think what Madonna is doing is both somewhat critical of religion. I don't even know that she's actually being critical of religion. I think she's just not caring about offending religion.
Definitely not caring about offending religion.
But I think she's trying to use that religious imagery and focus to kind of make the broader point. But I think, I don't know, 1989, and maybe I'm contextualizing this historically too, but I also think all pop singers do this.
It's a product of its time, right?
But I think 1989 is maybe the start of, certainly not the pinnacle of, but maybe the start of, and maybe this song is actually the start of the cultural shift kind of globally, whereby, you know, sex positivity, sexualization takes on a huge central role as almost a cultural good or as like a cultural ideal, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think if you think about it, yeah, there was a point in history when sex was looked down upon and you don't talk about it, and like, you know, the Flintstones can't be seen in the same bed because, you know, that would be too sexual,
yep.
right?
Yep.
And then you have what you have now, and you have the person attempting to be Madonna and Miley Cyrus swinging naked on a wrecking ball. You know, I think like there's that transitions somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And I almost feel like what Madonna is doing in this song is capturing the very moment of that transition. And I think there's something in that, in using the religious iconography.
Well, certainly the mainstreaming of it, because it's probably around from the 60s or so, right?
Right, but yeah. But I think in using the religious language and iconography, there is an interesting cultural commentary being had here, which, you know, if we live in the post-Nietzschean God is dead world, and, you know, as we've talked about David Foster Wallace, what takes the place of God, what takes the place of religion? The answer is sex, right? Like the answer in this kind of cultural context, at least in the music industry, is sex takes the place of religion. That is the thing that we praise, that we are all singing about, that we all think is the highest thing. And I think Madonna is almost putting that up on a billboard to say sex
quite,
is the
well,
new
quite
religion,
literally, right?
Literally,
yeah.
Sex is
the
new religion.
She embodies that, you could say.
Right, yeah. And I think there is a deliberateness in that. And I think that works with this constant flipping where she's trying to be on the line.
Yeah.
She's trying to go, on one hand, it's all religion, and on the other hand, it's all definitely sex. And, you know, and standing right in the middle of that and straddling both sides of that, I think, is the point, at least the lyrical point of this song, is to say that, you know, essentially, this is our time. I am the embodiment of this moment where, you know what, actually, things that were sacred, things that were religious, things that were prayers, you know, well, it's now actually more pertinent to talk about oral sex than it is to talk about praying because, hey, here we are.
And actually, we can use the same language of praying, like, you know, oh God, I think I'm falling. I close my eyes. Heaven help me. Like, you know, we can apply that same language to oral sex,
yes,
right? Like,
right,
yeah,
no.
Yeah.
So it's very clever. It is so so amazingly clever. I just, you know, yeah.
Is it as clever as Are You Being Served?
Oh, I don't think I know that one too well.
Oh, do you not? No. Actually, a similar time, probably '80s British sitcom, which was the send up. I think this tells you everything you need to know about the show. It was sent up by The Chaser as the single entendre comedy, Are You Being Shagged?
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. But no, I think I don't know. I think lyrically that is a really interesting point and is a really interesting kind of I don't know. I find it fascinating. And I think, you know, for all you want to say about, you know, I think we have a tendency to downplay pop stars as kind of, you know, clever social commentators or good musicians or all those kinds of things. And particularly we have a tendency to downplay female pop stars like that. I think lyrically in this one, and Madonna did write the lyrics to this, I think there is...
No, co-write, yeah.
Yeah, I just think there is definitely a real capturing of a moment and a real being of just being super hyper aware of everything that's going on in the world and what she, you know, who she is and what her role in society is and all of that. It's one of the cleverest plays on that kind of, you know, double entendre kind of stuff. but culturally and contextually as well as just in the song itself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is there anything else in the lyrics that you wanted to jump into? Anything that's grabbing you there that we've not talked about?
I mean, not specifically, but I think I do want to touch on for a second some of the controversy around this
song.
Sure. Because, you know, this is obviously a huge kind of deal. So, you know, we had the article from Sydney Morning Herald here where, you know, Fred Niles is having a right old go. But, you know, I think, you know, there's obviously a real... there's real uproar around this. And again, we've spoken about Madonna's brilliant marketing, and so that's kind of the point. Like, let's make an uproar about this song. Let's see how we can, you know, all publicity is good publicity, right? But you know, I think there's an acknowledgement of that. I think obviously this video, the video is created with that in mind, I think, a little bit.
Yeah, if you haven't watched the video, I hadn't watched the video until Jamal asked me just before we came on air, have you watched the video? It's worth it. Go do it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we'll get to the video in a second, but I just on the controversy, you know, the Pope came out against it. They almost tried to boycott.
That would have been John Paul II.
John Paul II said the video is blasphemy and insult because it shows immorals inside a church. Yeah, no, great sentences, John Paul. Pepsi had the ad had the song in an ad and then was forced to cancel it due to backlash.
Yeah, okay.
So they cancelled their contract with Madonna. You know, and essentially, you know, and the Vatican tried to boycott her Blonde Ambition tour when it came through Italy. And, you know, Madonna kind of took that on the chin and was just like, well, if I'm offending certain groups, I think people who really understand what I'm doing aren't bothered by it. But, yeah, obviously.
And this was probably around about the time, like you mentioned, this as a change in terms of the idolization of sexuality. Mm. But also this is the point at which what the Vatican says, at least in the Anglosphere, is mattering less and less, right? And and the Vatican has not quite understood that adequately yet at this point as well. So there's another little interesting cultural convergence.
Yeah, absolutely. So look, and maybe it's worth going to the video here.
Yeah.
Because I think it is super interesting. You saw the video for the first time
I did.
A few minutes ago, half an hour ago. What did you think?
It did not match anything. Like, so aside from the heavy use of religious iconography, right? Like, and a lot of it is in a church. It depicts Catholic symbols and stigmata. There's the Wikipedia article says here it's a black saint, could have been a black Jesus, perhaps, you know, kind of involved in things, but it didn't match what I thought we were getting in the song.
Yeah. Okay. I think the video is, this is the 80s and late 80s, early 90s. I think people are using music videos almost as the main release in what they're doing. So, right?
Yeah, this is kind of like the early days of MTV, right?
Right, yeah. Absolutely. And, and obviously this song, you know, screening on MTV was a major deal. And so I think you know, people were writing songs with the videos in mind as much as the radio play.
Totally.
And I think...
Which is kind of why it surprised me, right? Mm. Like, yeah.
Well, I think what she's commenting on, again, I think this is Madonna really just pushing all the boundaries she can, right? Because I think she's taking the kind of the sexual connotations and lyrics in the song. And I think she's making a correct assessment here that there's enough of that in the lyrics. She doesn't need to drive that point home any further in the video. There's, you know, there is a romance story in the video. There is a few shots of her on her knees in front of Black Saint, Black Jesus. Like, I don't think there needs to be
there's any, a kissing toe moment.
Right.
Which again is like that really interesting blurred point between religious practice and sexuality, right?
Right. Yeah. Well, and actually there's a sexuality ambiguous moment when the head of the gospel choir, lowers Madonna to her knees.
Yeah, with a hand on her head, right? Yeah.
And so, you know, there's a whole lot of, but I think the point is that Madonna feels like she doesn't need to drive that point further, right?
Sure.
That the lyrics and
she
the song
could have just
that.
Made kind of what we would certainly be quite common now is just like a sexy video clip.
Right,
for
exactly.
Yeah.
But instead she decides to, you know, theme it appropriately in a church with the whole kind of religious iconography thing with her, I don't know, flying up to heaven and meeting
woman god.
Woman god who's also the head of the gospel choir. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that checks out.
Yeah. So she has a lot of that in there and, you know, is kind of very much theming that, but then is, I think, making an additional point, certainly around racism and certainly around the common practice, which is unfortunately still to this day, of police identifying black people as as perpetrators of crimes. So, you know, in the video clip, Madonna is attacked by a group of men, stabbed by them, I think, and then her black boyfriend, black Jesus boyfriend, comes and, you know, look, she's trying to help her, and then the police rock up and arrest him. And so there's that side of it. She dances in front of burning crosses and Ku Klux Klan symbols.
That's probably the first religious iconography that actually makes it into the clip, right? The burning crosses, which, yeah, as you say, Ku Klux Klan stuff.
Right. Yep. So I think there's that there as well, and the, you know, the broader kind of comment on the justice system and, you know, and that kind of thing, and, you know, does the whole the white savior thing at the end by getting her black Jesus boyfriend out of jail.
This was an interesting thing I found, right? Like, it's aside from the obvious baddie white guys at the beginning who, you know, stab this woman or whatever it is, like, Madonna is the only white person in the clips, right? Yeah. And she's the one that saves the day and gets black Jesus out of prison, which, you know, like, on the one hand, like, that's a really good social activism thing, like, if you see something, say something kind of stuff. But just, like, on the other hand, it's like, here's this white heroine in the...
Well,
you know.
I also think that's probably very 80s and 90s solidarity vibes. So, this is the same time when Paul Simon is doing Graceland with, you know, essentially the Black Mombasa Choir and that kind of thing. And, you know, you have a lot of white artists who are, I think, perceiving that the way to kind of push forward social progress around, you know, racial relations in the United States is through
kind of lending their profiles.
Lending their own profiles, right? And making that point themselves, right? And, yeah, we can argue the merits of that till the cows come home, but, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. But no, I think the
oh look, there's a cow. Go on.
I think the video clip, I think, does a bunch of very just interesting things, and just, like, you know, makes that additional point on racism. Wants to try and, I think, you know, lend itself a little bit, you know, really drive the sexualized religious point home. And yeah, I agree with you. It's probably not exactly what you'd expect in that, but certainly I think from what I could see on the controversy, the use of religious iconography and putting things inside the church and whatever else drove home the offence that a lot of the religious folk had about this.
And there is an interesting just kind of crossover with that as well, where, like, it's there's a line in, I think, the prophet Isaiah, certainly the prophet Micah, right, like, where we hear God saying, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, right? Like, it's that God is interested in justice, and that true praise of God is justice and righteousness and that kind of thing. And to an extent, the film clip kind of works in with that, right? Because leaving aside the dream sequence and all of the sexualizing of bits and pieces, like, the overall meta theme is actually that injustice has been done and is put right. Within the film clip.
Well,
and that's something that, on my take, God approves of, right?
Well, yeah, and again, this is why I think she's being clever with the... Like, she's not completely saying religion sucks.
Just to say clearly, you know, God is anti-Ku Klux Klan, regardless of what they think, yeah.
Right, yeah. But that's it. She's not saying religion sucks, right? She's saying, you know, look at how religion... You know, essentially, look at religion. This is almost the third layer of this is... It's religion's commentary on society, right? That she's almost making that point that, you know, actually there is holiness in the church that is about justice, and actually, yeah, the Ku Klux Klan sucks and the cops are all Klansmen, and, you know, and actually, you know, I mean, again, I think even the use of black Jesus is a bit of a thumbing of the nose at kind of mainstream white Christianity there, and kind of almost throwing respect behind the kind of the black American gospel community, and that's certainly a very religious kind of community there.
And it's really interesting for me to reflect, like, watching this film clip, you know, at the distance of 35 years, I don't find it particularly offensive, right? Like, and that's not necessarily because it's just inoffensive, but also this kind of thing is so normal now, right? Like, the use of some of that kind of imagery and that type of thing, and there's an aspect of that, if you reminded me in an episode that went out recently of just, you know, well, God is interested in the everyday. Mm. And as we were saying, like in the injustice and in those parts of like, yeah, I don't quite know where that thought was going. But sure, like it's an interesting hypothetical to wonder, like, well, is God offended by something like this?
Do you think that God is?
I'm not sure. Yeah, now that I've voiced it, I need to have an opinion on this, right? Because that makes for a good podcast. I'm not sure. I think there's definitely aspects of it that are intentionally disrespectful, I think. And that's a challenge. But there's also, as I was saying, aspects of this that reflect the ideals of justice and kind of an everyday life. On the whole, is Madonna going to hell? If that's a meta question, I can't answer that. Yeah, that's enough of my. I would hesitate to say kind of one way or the other, because this is probably the double entendre of the song. There we go. Because, like, you know, do I think God approves of every aspect of the song and the film clip? No. Mm. Do I think God disapproves of every aspect of the song and the film clip? Probably not either. And so the fact that she's blurring the line actually makes that difficult to say. And I think this is the thing that Christians in particular, religious people more generally, struggle with seeing sometimes. So I mentioned Life of Brian at the top of the show. Like, I've not met a single Christian my age who's seen Life of Brian who hasn't either loved it or not got Monty Python, right? Like, those are the two alternatives. I haven't met anybody kind of our age that has been offended by it, and yet it was enormously controversial when it came out. So there's an aspect of those blurred line things where it's just like, well, not everything's black and white, and we should be able to just, even if you don't appreciate it yourself, even if it's not the way that you would put something, to not be offended by things is probably pretty important.
Right. Well, and actually to that, not black and whiteness. I mean, like, I was reading some articles on this, and like, I didn't realize this, but Madonna was Catholic. Right, like there's a layer to which this is like, you know, deep and profound for her, right? So like, I've got a quote here where Madonna said, you know, my Catholic upbringing is probably the foundation of everything I do right now. She was a staunch critic of the church, but her criticism was from inside the family, spoken as a Catholic. And she says she prayed constantly. I pray when I'm in trouble, or I pray when I'm happy.
And I mean, like you mentioned a while ago, John Paul II having an issue with what was being shown inside a church, right? Like, and I bit my tongue at the time, but given what we now know was happening inside church, Catholic churches at that time and other churches as well, it has to be said.
And actually, speaking of the more confusion, one thing I didn't know until I just read this was the person playing Madonna in the video clip is not actually Madonna.
Oh.
It's Madonna Ciccone, who's an actress. And like, I remember thinking, that doesn't look a bit like Madonna, but it's an actress who just looks a fair bit like Madonna.
Well, yeah, that's because Madonna in my head is a 60-year-old woman pretending that she's still 25. Yeah.
Right, but so again, like, I think I think the point here is that it is playing up so many of those layers. And like, I think, you know, one of the things that you know, we do circle this around on a lot is this idea of, you know, complexity and layers and how nothing is simple, right? And I think that is, you know, more clear in this song than in a lot of others. You know, we've spoken about Divine Music episodes where we've just, you know, gone, oh, there's only one layer to this song, that's it, right? There are so many layers to this song. This song is the opposite of, sorry, Florence, but this song is many, many layered.
100%.
Right. I maybe want to finish this one with a quote here, which I think sums up all of the various things. This is music writer Greil Marcus in a 1990 documentary calls the video blasphemous on about 10 levels at once, which as a story is as upsetting as a piece of a public work, as you're going to see anywhere. You have interracial sex, you have sex between a human being, a woman played by Madonna in the video, and a saint, a black saint, who may not be a saint at all. He may be Jesus. That's just for starters. Right, so there's, yeah, there's a lot of fun stuff. Actually, this does remind me of a time a Christian and a Buddhist did walk into a bar. No, you didn't. Okay. Well, a Christian and a Buddhist walk into the bar, and guess who's in the bar?
Madonna.
Yes, actually, Madonna.
Excellent.
And also Cher, and also Jewel, and also Fabio.
Excellent.
Yeah, so they're all hanging out in the bar. But they're all, like, not talking to each other. They're all, like, sitting at opposite ends of the bar. And they go to the bartender. It's like, well, you know, you got all these stars in the bar. Like, what's going on? Like, they're not talking to each other. And the bartender goes, oh, yeah, no. These people, they had a big argument. They're no longer on a first-name basis.
Hey. You're only missing the artist formerly known as Prince.
That's true. Yeah.
Hey. Very good. Do you know what else is very good?
Like a Prayer.
Sure. And I was thinking music by Kevin MacLeod.
It's true, music by Kevin MacLeod is also very good.
Don't ask me to choose between Kevin MacLeod and Madonna. I'm not sure I can do it.
All right. I want to apologize to Madonna. We didn't play enough of Like a Prayer this episode. Please go out and listen to it. It's great.
You can thank us for not infringing your copyright later.
That's it. ChristianBuddhistBar@gmail.com if you have any other songs to send us.
And we're recording on Ngunnawal and Ngambri country. See you next week.
What song are we listening to today, Jacob? Jacob.